God, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. If you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. I'm trying to say, think of some words to a song. Did y'all hear me?
I heard you. I just didn't know what you were doing.
Maybe F. Just follow. Today the storm clouds gather all around us. Sin and sorrow we meet on every hand. But I'm longing for the day when he says, child, come on. And he reaches out his hand for me. I'm going up, up, up to be with Jesus. Gonna be gone in the temple when I... miss me from this world some happy morning. I will meet you in that city built on high. Sometimes I just can't keep from shouting glory when I think of how he's done and set me free. But someday he'll receive me up in heaven and I'll walk through the plain. I'm going up, up, up to be with Jesus. Gonna be changed in the twinkling of an eye. If you miss me from this world some happy morning, I will meet you in that city built on high. One more time. I'm going up, up, up to be with Jesus. I'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Miss me from this world some happy morning. I will meet you in that city built on high. I will meet you in that city built on high. How many's looking forward to that? We're glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. When we begin to think what lies in store for us. Praise God, praise God. Thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate you coming out to the house of the Lord tonight to worship him in spirit and truth. If you've had a blessed day today, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let him know how we've enjoyed this beautiful day. For a little while tonight, I want to go to the book of Daniel in the very first chapter of the book of Daniel. Maybe just speak to us a little bit tonight on what we feel that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. Amen. God is so gracious and so wonderful and so good. We could never, ever praise him enough. But I believe that God is still instructing us in our daily lives and the things that are transpiring in the world today, amen, so that we can know, amen, how to hold our spiritual heads high, even in the face of adversity and the things that are transpiring around us today. From the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, I would like to read verses 1 through 8. Tonight, if I may, thank you for standing and bear with me as I read in the first chapter of the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are again, God, for the opportunity to gather tonight. Lord, I pray your blessing. I pray your anointing, God, upon this service. We thank you, Lord, for the songs of praise tonight. Lord, and we thank you for the word. And I pray, God, that it will reach deep into our hearts, God, that it would produce growth and edification into our spirit. God, that we might learn your direction, God, and be directed by your will. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are suffering. I pray, God, for the afflicted as well, that you would touch and minister healing to their bodies. Ask you now to anoint these lips of clay, God, as just a vessel, that you might speak to our hearts. And we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise, if you would. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak tonight on taking a stand. Taking a stand. There's a song, a secular song, that says, if you don't take a stand, you'll fall for anything. Man, how many knows that we need to take a stand on God's Word? Amen. This is, in essence, what Daniel and the three Hebrew children of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego purposed in their heart. I know that it speaks of Daniel. In fact, he's the author of this particular book, and he includes the three Hebrew children as well. Can we understand just a little bit about where Daniel and the three Hebrew children are? They are in captivity. Israel, again, has backslidden under the king of Jehoiakim. They have lost their ways, and many, many times, it seems like the children of Israel would learn from their past and from their mistake. Every time that they was against God or away from God, things begin to happen to them, and they would repent, and God would forgive them and bring them back into his good graces. And this was a constant revolving door, and we find now that the king of Babylon has come and besieged the city, and it basically went into the house of God and taken out the vessels and brought them back and said in two places to put them in the place of his gods, which was not the God that Brother Art was describing. It was their God, their worship of idols and all, and he brought them into their house, and God was very displeased with that. But we find that the king of Babylon wanted to basically retrain, listen to me, basically wanted to institute their ways into these children of Israel. If you've always noticed about the children of Israel, they've always seemingly had a lot to offer. God blessed them mightily. Even when so many times they walked away from God, they were still a blessed people. They were God's chosen people, and they were very bright. There were great leaders that came out with the help of God. We know that, and all the many things that were transpired and done, the books that were written, and Moses and Elijah and the prophets and Daniel and all David and all the many, many people that were anointed by God, and great things happened to them. And we find now that the king of Babylon noticed something about certain of these Jewish princes, these Jewish people that came from maybe the higher up in the classifications. And he said basically in verse number 4, children in whom was no blemish, they were fair and well-complected, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. Basically, he wanted those that had good qualifications, good qualities about them, to be able to stand in the palace. And basically, it would be a type of, for lack of a better term, maybe a trophy case for him. The king of Babylon could look and point to these and say, look, we have besieged this city, we've overtaken them, and we brought in of their finest, and we've kind of brainwashed them and taught them our ways and taught them our language and renamed them. And, you know, it seemed almost like a trophy case. And I thought, I heard a message one time, the devil's trophy case, and how, you know, the devil, we always wonder why the devil's always on me. Why was he always bothering me? Why isn't he after somebody else? It could be because he sees in you something, amen, that could be a trophy in his case. He likes to pull after those people, amen, who are living in victory. He likes to come after those people and try to drag them down and pull them down because he knows that you're in the service of God. If you're not working for the Lord, if you're not a professing Christianity, he's probably not going to bother you very much. But if you've made a stand for God, if you've made a stand for God's precepts and his statutes and to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Bible and according to God's word, just get ready because Satan's going to come at you and probably try to bombard you with all that he has. But how many knows greater is he that is within us, amen, than he that is in the world? So the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, saw and probably realized maybe this could be a wonderful trophy as other kings looked and said, here's a mighty nation that we overtook and here's some of their elite, and now they're standing in the palace basically as a memento or as a trophy of what he had been able to accomplish. How many knows that you make and bring people into captivity, but it's another thing to break their will? Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, he did this without regard to his life. Facing the possibility of mental anguish or even possible death, he chose to stand on his principles, to stand on his beliefs, to stand on his ideology, and to stand on his faith and trust in Almighty God. Now, many Bible readers and many Bible scholars begin to point out, well, why was he so particular about the meat? And they said, you know, they seemed to be all right with them changing their names. They didn't really, I mean, Daniel didn't really put up a fight when they changed his name to Belteshazzar, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was Hananiah, there was Mishael, and there was Azariah, but when they changed their name, we don't read anything about them raising a ruckus about that. And even when they tried to teach them the language of the Babylonians, we don't see any resistance there. But when they said, we're going to give them a portion of the king's meals for basically, what, 3 years, we're going to sustain them, and we're going to give them the same thing that the king and those around him was eating. Then Daniel said, no, I will not partake of that. I am taking a stand. How many knows that there's sometimes you have to draw a line in the sand and say, no, I'm not going to be persuaded by that. I'm not going to partake of that. I refuse to partake of the king's meat. Now, some Bible scholars would tell us that maybe it was referring to Daniel's Israeli background and some of the things that maybe the king was, or the king's bakers or cooks or chefs was presenting, was things that were not supposed to be eaten by Israelites. You remember in the Mosaic Law, there were certain things that they could not partake of. Some would say maybe that included that. It's a possibility. I am not for certain if that was the case or not. I do know that the definition, the Hebrew definition for the king's meat was rich food or rich dainty food. Basically things that probably were not very healthy, but it came against the belief of Daniel. And Daniel said, purposed in his heart, I'm not going to partake of it. Knowing that he could have been in prison, knowing that he could have lost his life. But Daniel purposed in his heart, said he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Somebody said, well, according to Babylonian history, many, many times, and I read this and I was kind of shocked with it, but they said many, many Babylonians would mix blood in their wine and drink it. So if Daniel knew of that, he said, no, I'm drawing the line. I'm not going to partake of that. And bear with me. I'm going to get to where I'm going in just a little bit, but I want to bring this to our attention. So Daniel said, no, I'm not going to have that. So now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. How many knows God will make a way? When we make a stand, it may not seem like a popular thing, but God will make a way. Amen? And it may not be pleasing to people around us, but God will make a way. And God will honor that stand on which we make. Whether it's a conviction, whatever it is, amen, if we decide, no, I'm not going to partake of that. Too many people today are swayed by popular opinion or people saying, come on. And here was an excellent example. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're not in Israel anymore. Who's going to know? Who's going to care? But in fact, you're demanded by the king to do so. You have a perfect excuse, amen, to let down your guard and partake of what the king is giving you. Besides, your life may be in jeopardy if you don't. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Praise God that there's people today who have purposed in their heart. Amen. They got their mind made up that they're not going to partake of certain situations. They're not going to get involved in things of the world. They have made up in their heart and their mind, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'll stand for the Lord. Let the world go by. Can you say amen? So here we find that God had made a way for Daniel to have favor with the prince of the eunuchs. And in verse number 10, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear for my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should you see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So not only, now here's Daniel, not only does he have to be concerned about his life, but now he has to be concerned about the friend that he has made, who is one of the prince of the eunuchs, because he's afraid the king's going to charge him and chop his head off. So you know what? When you make a stand, the devil's going to try to come and make it as convenient as he possibly can, amen, for you to back out of that stand that you have made for God. Whatever that is. If you make a stand, I'm going to fast one day a week. I'm going to fast one meal a day. It doesn't matter. Satan will come against you in so many ways because he knows that you have made a stand, you've made a statement, and he's going to try to say, who knows? Who's going to care? Nobody will ever know anything. Difference, go ahead. But when we purpose in our heart, church, when we purpose in our heart to do something for God, don't let anybody or anything talk you out of that purpose, amen, that you're doing for the Lord. So Daniel says to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants. Oh. Amen. Try us. See if it doesn't work. Can I tell you tonight, try God and see if it doesn't work. Amen. When all else fails, so many times then we turn to God and we say, God, I can't do it. I don't know what's going to happen. And then God comes on the scene and he makes a way. Amen. God will, in fact, make a way if we stand for him. Amen. And if we uphold that banner for the Lord. So he says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Somebody said that was a diet of vegetables and water. Now, it doesn't really make sense that people that's going to eat just vegetables and water are going to fare better than those people that are eating the protein and all of that stuff that comes with the king's food and the very best. But how many knows God can do what's impossible with man? Amen? And there's a purpose for this. So Daniel said, just try it, because our faith is in God. And he said, then, after these 10 days, let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. What a deal. Daniel said, don't take my word for it. Prove us. Give us of this pulse. Give us of this vegetable diet and this water, and continue to feed the rest of them with the king's delicacies, and see after 10 days, and then you make the decision. Amen. So at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all the visions and dreams. Don't tell me God won't bless sacrifice. Amen. God will bless obedience. God will bless us. Amen. When we determine in our heart and in our mind that we're making a stand, we're not going to be swayed by the devil. We're not going to be partaking in what the world would come against us or what Satan tries to tempt us with. When we make a stand, God will honor that stand and blessings will come. Amen. You'll find that you're stronger, in spiritual strength. You'll find that you're more faithful. Amen. In the reading of God's word and praying and all of those things, when you make that determination that I will not be swayed by the temptations of the world. Amen. Making a stand or taking a stand. It takes faith. It takes perseverance. But most of all, it takes God and putting our faith and trust in Him. So, in verse number 18, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now, verse 20 is wonderful. Verse 20 says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I thank God that God is a God of promise. I thank God that God is a God, amen, of working things out when we can't realize or we can't even put our finger on how in the world we're going to do these things. And I thought about that. And after 10 days, how much better off they were than even the king's men and all even the ones who came with them. I mean, there were others doing that. And we was talking about this morning. That doesn't make it right, by the way, just because the majority is partaking of something. But if God has laid a conviction in our heart, if God has purposed in our heart and in our mind that we're going to stand for a certain thing, and we make that commitment under God. And that's the reason that I tell people, be very, very careful when you make a petition under God or when you make a promise or a vow under God. Because the God that we serve doesn't understand the breaking of a covenant. He cannot break a covenant. And when we promise Him all of these things, and I remember talking to my granddaddy. My granddaddy was very, very wonderful at just sitting down and just, he had that contrary intellect. And he was able to tell folks, you know, when they were seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, said, don't make any promises now you don't intend to keep. Because God doesn't understand the breaking of promises. So, you know, when some person said, Lord, if you'll just heal me, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll say anything, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, Lord, for you. And then God does His part, and then for a little while we do it, and then first thing you know, amen, we done forgot our covenant, we done forgot our promise to God. We need to stand for what is right, folks, especially in the day and hour that we're living in. Now I want to leave you with this. This is a story about material things, physical meat, physical drink that Daniel in his heart purposed that he was not going to partake. Does that mean everybody else that partook of that meat, amen, were sinners? No, I don't believe that. I just believe that God honored that because He purposed in His heart. But I want to do a symbolism, a type and shadow of the world today, because the world would try to entice us with its immoral dainties. I believe it was last night. Trey and I was, actually we were all watching television for a little while trying to find something that Trey wanted to see. And that's a difficult task, to be honest with you, because there's not much fit on television. And then he's got this little truck and trailer with a dinosaur thing on it that is made out of Legos. Oh my Lord. He and his daddy's pretty good at putting Legos together, but I am not. I'm not a puzzle putter together. I despise puzzles. I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't see how anybody has the patience to find those little things and put them in there. I just want to rake it off the table and forget it. And I'm that way about Legos, too, because they all look alike and it's very, very hard. So some of the parts had come apart, and he and I were mostly me, but he would say, no, Papa, that doesn't go there. I said, well, you just need to do it. But anyway, we're trying to put that thing together. So Penny's over there. And all of a sudden, you know, she's flashing and flashing, and
She'll think, and then there's this vulgar language, and then something else, and then they're not. And I'm looking at her, and she said, "I'm trying to find something." And I thought, how terrible that is. That we have an adolescent in the house and we're flipping channels trying to find something where they don't have any vulgar language or vulgar pictures or something like that on. It's almost become an impossibility. Why is that? Because the world is trying to entice God's people with these immoral dainties. Nobody knows in the comfort of your home, in the privacy of your home, what you watch or what you don't watch. But let me tell you, when you make a stand, you got to honor that stand, whether you're in church or whether you're at the home or wherever you may be. Amen? Because if you give an inch to the devil, how many knows that he's going to keep progressing and trying to take more and more of our space? And I thought, it's not only the television. It's the things that people speak around in conversation. It's almost terrible. Another time, Penny and I was walking out of Walmart, just kind of walking back to the truck where we had bought some things, and we heard some of the foulest language, and they wasn't whispering. It was loud. We wasn't right next to them. And we looked over there, and they had little children with them. And I said, God, what is happening to our people? You know, there was a day and time when that was somebody would have, and I thought to myself, well, I guess I should speak or say something, but then you hold back because you don't want to get involved. Amen. But that's what Satan wants. He wants to entice us with the king's meat. And listen, put yourself in Daniel's position. We're not in Israel anymore. Jehoiakim's not going to know anything about it. But God does. God does. In fact, we could kind of say, well, the king is forcing us to eat it. You know, Flip Wilson had a whole movement. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Can I suggest to you tonight that the devil can only suggest it to us? He doesn't force us to do these things. But they're out there hanging like a carrot before a rabbit. They're hanging out there with these immoral delicacies, the immoral dainties, the things, amen, that the world, you know, doesn't see any harm whatsoever in. And they'll tell you, well, there's no harm in that. Daniel, there's no harm in that. You got to have food. You might as well go ahead and eat. Everybody else is eating it. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going there. Well, what's the difference? Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. If I'm the only one that makes this stand, I'm going to make this stand. I am not going to be swayed by popular opinion. I'm not going to be drawn into this trap with Satan enticing these things before me. It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter what the world accepts. It doesn't matter, amen, if people think that we're a fanatic or whatever. When we make a stand, we need to stand by that and be committed and dedicated to the service of God. And it's not popular. It's not popular. But Daniel made a stand. Amen. And there was something immaculate about that, because God blessed the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And then when they stood before the king said, there's something about them boys. Come on, there's something different. They're 10 times smarter. They got a 10 times better spirit than these other people. Why was it? Because of the food? No, because he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. I'm not going to be consumed with that. I'm not going to be a partaker of that. Regardless if it's going all around the office, regardless if it's going on in the school where I go, or in the parking lot of a Walmart, I refuse, amen, to be a part of where Satan is trying to take the world today. My dad spent time in Korea. My dad was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost before he got drafted. It was awkward, to say the least, to be able to be, and those of you, and I only heard his stories, I've never been in the military, but I've been around people that talk pretty bad and say things, and you know, they knew that Daddy didn't participate in that. They knew that he didn't go with them where they went for their enjoyment or whatever. And I guess you might say he was kind of kind of a sore thumb, so to speak. You know, he was a good old Charlie. That's what they would say. He's a good old Charlie, but he didn't participate. So they were in their barracks one night, and there was some kind of gambling going on, card game or something, probably. I don't know if they snuck drinks in or something. I don't know. But Daddy said it was kind of partying. Said he was in his bunk, and he had his eyes closed like he was asleep, and they thought he was asleep, and they, you know, they was kind of rebel rousing or whatever. And one of them spoke up. He said, "I tell you one thing about that Charlie, about that Alan. He's a good old Charlie. He's a good old Charlie. Why? Because he took a stand. Not that I'm better than you. Not that he was better than them. But he took a stand. I'm not gonna play that game. I'm not gonna be pulled into that. I may be unpopular. I may stick out like a sore thumb. And you know, I may be blackballed or ridiculed or pushed over to a side. But I've made a stand, and I'm not going to be drawn away." And that's what kept Daniel, because he purposed in his heart, "I'm not going to be swayed by that." Oh, it's easy to do. It would have been so easy for him to say, "You know what? I might as well. Everybody else is doing it." But Daniel continued, even under the first year of King Cyrus. And when they stood before the king, they saw something. I'll tell you one thing. Maybe this will help folks. People may not always agree with your stance. They may not always understand your commitment. They may, in fact, ridicule you and put you down for your commitment. But I will assure you, when you're not around, there is an utmost respect for you. There's a respect because you're not going along with the crowd. There's a respect because you've made a stand, and you're going to stick by that stand. And you're going to live for the Lord. Amen? And I'm telling you all of this because the world that I'm seeing, the world that I'm experiencing, amen, looks down on people who have made a stand. Especially a stand for Christianity, a stand for Jesus. You know, in some places you're not even allowed to say the word Jesus. I'm very particular about cartoons. That my Kevin watches a cartoon channel all the time. But you know, and I noticed just recently, they'll talk about all of these other things, but they won't even say Merry Christmas anymore. Nothing. Mickey Mouse, they call it something. I don't give a gift day or something. I said, "My Lord, what have we gotten to? When you can't even mention the word Jesus." But folks, we got to stand. We got to make a stand. May not be popular. May be ridiculed. You may be even put down. But I will assure you, people will notice when you make a stand and you don't back up. I'm not talking about our opinions or our self-ideologies. I'm talking about a standing for the Word of God. Man, when you stand for the Word of God, you don't have to back up for anything. You don't have to apologize for anything if the Word of God says it. Now, if you're offering your own opinion and it's not in the Bible, that's a different story. But the Word of God, you can stand on the Word of God. You can stand for the Word of God. And we better commit to the Word of God, because that's the only thing, amen, that's going to lead us through this terrible journey that we're going through, as we hold fast to that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So be sure, if you take a stand, be sure that you do it, amen, and you purpose in your heart, "I will not be swayed. I will not be pulled." You know, we will be enticed. Satan's good at enticing us and tempting us with the immoral delicacies that are in the world, the dainty things. And don't you know, I just know in my heart that Satan made that meat smell so good. He made the table look so good. You know, the kings ate pretty good back in then, you know. But Daniel said, "Nope, I purpose in my heart. I refuse to participate in that." When's the last time you said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I just refuse to be a part of that." So easy to just kind of go along with the crowd. I know how it is. That was the biggest thing when I was going to high school, was the peer pressure. The peer pressure. And if you wasn't careful, you'd be pulled into it. So easily to be pulled into it. And you have to stop and say, "You know what? I'm making a stand." Amen. How many's going to stand for Jesus? Got to stand for Jesus. Let the world go by, but I'm going to stand for Jesus. God bless you. You know what? We're going to be able to go home with God's will and still have some daylight. Isn't that wonderful? I got to share with you what Brother Alan Hembry said to me this morning. He was talking about, "I don't like this time change." And he said, a good friend of mine said he didn't like it either. And he said, I don't know why they can't just take 30 minutes and change that. A compromise. And I thought how hilarious that is. You know, I too wish they'd leave it alone, but they're going to keep doing what they want to do. But thank God, it does give us a little more daylight in the evening, so people that maybe have trouble driving in the dark and all can maybe get home still in the light of day. I want to thank you so very much for this day. You've been such a blessing this morning. It was just wonderful. We got to see some people we hadn't saw in a long, long time, and they said to help us pray that they'll continue to be able to come to church. You know, we're so blessed sometimes when we don't have to depend on somebody else to drive us. Amen. We take so many things for granted. But I've talked to a precious sister this morning. She said, please pray that the lady that brought me will continue to come to church so I can get back in church on a regular basis. And I thought, my Lord, what a simple prayer that is. But you know what? That's a great obstacle for her, because us, we can just get in our car and go and do as we please. But if somebody's dependent on somebody else and they have that desire to come to church, just please pray that this lady will continue to bring to church. That really moved my heart. I was so thankful that she shared that with me. And I'm praying that she'll be able to come, because she so enjoyed it. Amen. She got to come last Sunday and this Sunday as well. So God bless you. Would you stand? We'll be dismissed. Would you close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may have a need tonight. We never, ever want to close a service without giving you an opportunity to come to the altar to bring that need, whatever it is. Whatever the situation, we know that God is able. Is there one tonight? As you come around, some of you elders gather around, and let's pray for these needs tonight.